What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Chase, Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 the game. That's right. It is Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason at Bridgestone Arena today. The Jack Daniels Barrel House. It is open. The Predators will play tonight in Bridgestone Arena against the Anaheim Ducks, and the World Cup is underway, USA taking on Iran. We'll keep you updated on that if you're DVRing. Sorry.
We're going to keep you updated. Not scoring anything. It's 0-0 right at the beginning.
Nil-nil.
Nil-nil.
It is nil-nil. Let's talk some college football with Mitch Light, as we do every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Mitch from The Athletic joins us now. Hello, Mitch. How you doing?
I'm good, Chase. How are you today, bud?
I'm doing fantastic. Wild weekend of college football. Can we just go ahead and scrap the rankings and put South Carolina in the national championship game? I mean, they've earned it the last 2 weeks, beating Tennessee, beating Clemson. Let's go Gamecocks. Put them in there.
Well, if you ask Shane Beamer, they should. You know, his quote is that we had our own little 14. We had our own little playoff the last 2 weeks, and we came out quite well. Well, I'm sorry, Shane, it doesn't work that way. You know, that's why you play the entire season. But, no, kudos to them. I mean, they were – no team clearly had two better wins in the last 2 weeks than they did. You can't – I mean, no one else I think probably played two top 10 teams, and one at home, one on the road. I watched pretty much every play of both games, and, you know, they dug themselves a hole in the Clemson game, too. They pick six early. They got down 14-0. They fumbled going into the one in the red zone or inside the five, if I recall correctly. So they had to overcome some adversity there, and you know, they just played really, really well offensively. The funny thing is, like, there were serious questions about Marcus Satterfield's job, the offensive coordinator there, and my guess is that he would have been fired at the end of this year if they did not close their season out strongly. And then, boom, Matt Rhule gets hired at Nebraska, and he hires his old buddy Marcus Satterfield away. So, I mean, I honestly think this was – the last 2 weeks could not have gone any better for South Carolina fans who wanted their teams to beat Tennessee and Clemson and who wanted a new offensive coordinator. The only problem is Spencer Rattler might have played so well that he might not be back, but we'll have to find out about that.
So it's time for the old two-part question, but I feel it's the best way to do this. Why do you think ultimately Lane Kiffin decided – to stay put in Oxford at Ole Miss, and why do you think Hugh Freeze can be successful at Auburn?
I don't really know the answer to the first one. I mean, because I don't know how many people really know the answer to that one. There were reports, and, you know, I'm not doing the reporting. We have a lot of really good reporters at The Athletic, and I'm privy to some of their information. A lot of this was out there, too. Some of it, the reporting was that Lane Kiffin decided he didn't want to uproot his family. Some of it might have been that Auburn got a little cold feet because of Ole Miss's struggles. Maybe it was they were just wanted to freeze all along, and they were kind of vetting him and trying to, you know, do the PR thing and how that would play out. So, you know, I don't really know ultimately why he wasn't the choice. Why will Hugh Freeze do well there is because he's a really good football coach who had success at Ole Miss and did a great job at Liberty. And he runs good offenses. He's had good quarterbacks. He's innovative, all that. So for all the negative, you know, the no doubt about it, he's a good coach. But, you know, that doesn't guarantee success. Life can be very, very difficult in the SEC, especially in the SEC West. But with the, as we know nowadays, with the transfer portal and all that stuff, it's easy. You know, that will be an attractive destination for a transfer quarterback. So I would be surprised if they do not have a good offense next year, at the least.
We're talking with Mitch Light at The Athletic. Now, Mitch, we're entering championship weekend, and obviously, you know, it's big for TCU, it's big for USC as well as Michigan. But do you think if one of those teams do lose, do you think there would be much shakeup in the top four? Because right now, as it sit, it should be Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC. But if TCU loses or Michigan loses, let's say that, do you think there'd be much shakeup the next following week as far as the playoff goes?
Yeah, I mean, Derek, that is what we're going to be watching this weekend. Mm-hmm. I always say, you know, people talk about the committee, like the committee is going to do this, and ultimately is a committee decision, but there are 13 people in there, and 13 people, everyone values things differently. Like if you were on that committee and TCU loses and you say, you know what, I wasn't overly impressed with them all year. They had a lot of close wins against good but not great teams, and they didn't even win a conference championship. That doesn't, you know, I've got to bump them down. The guy next to you might be saying, you know what, they managed to win games. They came from behind. They got a great offense. They went 12-0 and 10-0 in a difficult league. Sure, they lost their championship game on a neutral field, but they've only got one loss, so I've got them in there. So it's just going to be – there's going to be a lot of debate. And then, you know, where is Ohio State tonight? You know, we think they're going to be fifth. Where is Alabama going to be? How the Alabama-Tennessee thing? You know, so there's so much at stake here. I mean, we think – yeah. We have a lot more confidence in TCU this week. I'm saying we because I think most people do after their performance last week because they finally won a game comfortably. Even though Iowa State was 1-7 in the league, or 1-8, they're still a decent team. And we have more confidence in USC because they were really good against Notre Dame. Some of the things we say about USC, they're not physical enough. They can't stop the run. They played really well against the physical Notre Dame team that wants to run the ball. So I feel really good about both those teams winning. But Derek, like you said, if they don't, yeah, there's going to be some movement. I couldn't, you know, I could tell you what I think, but we have no idea what the committee's going to do. And like they said, they say they scrap it every week. That's hard to do intuitively, but like they say, they throw away what the previous rankings were the previous week, and they start from scratch. So that's why they kind of allow themselves to make these radical changes, because they say they do it differently every week.
Look, I just want LSU, Purdue, Kansas State, and Utah all to win and just make this completely crazy.
Scrap everything.
Let's just do that.
Absolutely.
Is that your money line parlay for the week?
No, I'm not that brave.
Now, quickly before I pass it over to Willie, is there a lane for Alabama and Tennessee to get back in this, or do you believe, hey, listen, it's their losses were too bad, and it's no matter what happens, those two teams may not get into the playoffs?
I would say yes, but very kind of reluctantly. The thing that would give me hope, especially for Tennessee, is what I just said before, is they wrap it up, they rip it up every week, supposedly, and they start from scratch. So you could say, okay, well, they were 10 last week, they beat Vanderbilt, how could they go up that much? Well, maybe the doubts in that room were, Hendon Hooker's hurt. The offense is not going to be good. Well, they proved, you know, Vanderbilt is what it is, but they won two straight games against quality SEC teams and were 5-6. It wasn't like it was a 2-9 Vanderbilt team, and they played one of their most impressive games of the season. But then someone might be saying, well, they looked awful against South Carolina. Oh, wait, that South Carolina team's actually pretty good. So, you know, Alabama, the same thing. Alabama, they lost two close games basically at the buzzer. One, at Tennessee, and then in overtime against LSU, but then you counter back, they don't have any good wins. So there's just so much, you can talk yourself into circles there. But I would say, yes, there is an outside path. I don't see the committee having Tennessee over Alabama, though. You can argue that, I understand that, but the fact that they were, three spots difference, I don't see that changing.
Mitch Light is with us. So Mitch, I know in the NCAA basketball tournament, they come out and say, if a player is hurt, that does affect our decision as a committee of where to seed a team, whether to put a team in. So with Hendon Hooker's injury, if the chaos did happen and all of a sudden you're looking at Tennessee as one of a pool of teams, have they said as a committee what their criteria is on the Hendon Hooker injury? Does that factor in?
You know, that's a good question. I think we all assume it does factor, but I should know. Maybe they said it. I haven't heard, but I think we assume that it does factor. That's where the criteria are the best teams, the four best teams, not the four most deserving. And that's where that could bite a team like Tennessee in this case, because you could argue they are one of the four most deserving because of their resume, but then you could argue they're not one of the four best because their best player, the quarterback, is out. You know, again, even though they played better, we all saw the game. Joe Milton is not Hendon Hooker. So that is the scenario where the committee could really lean on the four best as an excuse not to include Tennessee if they did, if chaos did ensue and they kind of elbowed their way back into the picture.
So, Mitch, you've assessed many a Vanderbilt team over the years. You also do a lot of work with The Athletic on the recruiting front. I'm curious what you think of Clark Lee, how he moves forward here with the two great wins to make the season a success. I mean, we talked about in Vegas, their over-under before the year was 2.5 wins, and they win 5, two huge conference wins. But, of course, bad taste in your mouth after a very disappointing performance, to say the least, on Saturday. But in terms of keeping the guys you have and moving forward with another good recruiting class, what do you think? Because I was reading the comments of David Shaw from Stanford. He steps down, and you just got the sense from the comments that the overall challenge of recruiting at Stanford, a place like Stanford, and Vanderbilt would be in that, not only is it tough with the recruiting in general, only private school in the league kind of thing, but also the way teams, he was very frank. He said teams are backdoor recruiting illegally our players right now. He said it, and it wasn't like read between the lines. He absolutely said it. And you can sort of legally do it in some way. He said illegal, but all that being said, how do you think Clark Lee can take it to another level from this year to next year?
Yeah, I mean, the challenges are great, and, you know, that's not just happening to Stanford. It's happening everywhere. You know, the people are being recruited off of current rosters. Specifically, you know, there's no doubt that winning those two SEC games has done a ton for the program. You know, you got to hear Clark Lee talk. You hear Barton Simmons talk. They all say the belief in the building, you know, we knew we were on the right track. We knew this. We knew this. That's great. That's a great attitude to have. But they'll admit, you know, outside, we also know what people saw the results. They needed to show the results to their fans, to recruits, to their current players. I mean, if you're a current player and you're thinking about transferring, you're far more apt to say, you know what, I really do think we're on the right path here after you win two conference games than if you would have gone 0-8 and gone 3-9 overall. So I think that those two wins, sure, the season ended on a really sour note, but those two wins were huge for the program. And you know, they've got it. The class, I think, on paper is very similar to last year, which was good for Vanderbilt. I mean, it's not ranked as high as last year, but there's still a couple weeks to go. So, you know, obviously the task there is holding on to those guys and holding on to the guys. You know, a guy like, they've got a lot of really good players, young players. They kind of diamonds in the rough they found. Their job now is to keep those guys and prevent them from recruiting, which was, sure, the guys would leave programs in the past 5-10 years, but that was not, you didn't think, okay, season's over now. We've got to recruit our current guys just as hard as we're recruiting our recruits. So, yeah, I mean, I do think that life is more difficult than ever for the quote-unquote academic schools for a lot of the reasons that David Shaw outlined.
He is Mitch Light of The Athletic. Mitch, appreciate it. We'll see what happens with championship weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yep.
That is Mitch Light joining us. Coming up next, we'll continue this discussion because I've pulled up the old bowl predictor. And there's some interesting matchups that could happen.
And I'd love to discuss the point a little further. We can read David Shaw's comments, and it's not just the academic schools, but it's really every school. The burden on a college coach right now of not only where my next player is coming from, but also the recruiting people, it's clear that what's happening right now, people are recruiting people off of current rosters,
yep,
not just people in the transfer portal. And David Shaw, who's a great college football ambassador, a great guy you want running college football. I look at Jay Wright at Villanova in basketball. I think some college coaches are saying, this is not what I signed up for. This is too much. I can't do it all. And some good coaches are walking away.
Yeah, and he was one of them. Resigned this weekend. We'll do that coming up next. Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie DeMace presented by Hair Club. Regrow your own natural hair through non-surgical options that deliver impressive results. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. and just getting word. 30 in about 10, we're going to be joined by the president, Sean Henry.
Ah.
He's going to come on with us, talk about things going on here at Bridgestone Arena. So that'll be good to talk to him as they will play tonight here at the arena against the Anaheim Ducks. But talking a little bit of the college football playoffs, some of the bowls. I know you wanted to hit on something,
yeah.
Willie, but real quick, I want to give you just some bowl projections that CBS has. Clemson, Tennessee, and the Orange Bowl. The two teams that lost to South Carolina have to play each other.
That'd be interesting.
That would be, now, it's not official. This is just the prediction right now. But that'd be something. Alabama, Kansas State in the Sugar. Ohio State, Washington in the Rose. Penn State, Tulane in the Cotton Bowl.
Tulane in the Cotton Bowl. Good for them.
Yeah, good for them indeed. Here at the Music City Bowl, and man, I'm telling you right now, if this happens, you're going to see me do a backflip. We're getting him on the show. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. Iowa and whoop, whoop, the Lane Train. Ole Miss. Oh, man, I want that to happen.
I thought you were
so
about
bad.
To say Mike Leach.
Well, he'd be great, too. We'd spend the whole segment talking about, Coach, how do I get out of the friend zone?
Yeah.
Could you give me relationship advice?
He probably could give you.
I think either one of those coaches would have an interesting answer for you on
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
I'll ask Lane. Yeah. I mean, I will. I'll just be like, Coach, what do you think? What do you think I need to do?
Man.
That would be great. But I know you wanted to hit on something else before
you. Well, I just want to throw it. I'll throw it at you guys. Uh-huh. Like, I love coaching. Like, when I've had a chance to coach young people, you know, here and there, basketball camps, like, I just love doing that. And I know there's a lot of coaches out there that's why they get into the profession. It's not speaking to the athletic club.
Yeah, or club.
Even the recruiting. Like, you got to love recruiting to do that, and it's so important. But what I wonder is, with all these layers now, it's not just recruiting. Mm-hmm. It's now re-recruiting your own guys. It's now, hey, who's in the transfer portal? Mm-hmm. Hey, we lost a few games. We need – there's so many different angles now that go with it. I can see why a lot of coaches just burn out and just say, you know what, maybe I'll just go back and coach high school or something. You know, but there's so much money in it, I can see it. I just thought it was really interesting. Go read the comments by David Shaw, who loves his school. He went to Stanford, coaches Stanford. They struggled this year, but I just got the sense that he was like, this is just too much. I can't do this and run my family and have a life outside of this. There's just not enough hours in the day to cover all this stuff.
Burnout is a real thing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens, especially now.
Especially when you are – it's sort of like you're at a disadvantage being at Stanford, whether it's Stanford, Vanderbilt, Northwestern, name these, you know, high esteem academic schools that try to compete also in whatever, you know, sporting realm there is, especially when it comes to football and basketball, more specifically football. The trouble is recruiting to those schools. You're not at, you know, Alabama or Georgia or Michigan State, where you can go and recruit. Yeah, there's a baseline for your admissions. You have to get in, but it's not as high as a Vanderbilt or a Stanford, schools like that. And when you're trying to recruit these guys, it's hard for those guys to then say, well, you know, I go to your school instead of going to Alabama. You know, it's a little bit easier from an academic standpoint to get in Alabama. Not to say that Alabama's degree is meaningless, because it's not. It means a lot. But when you're trying to recruit and you got all of these, you know, hurdles to jump over before you actually get in, it makes it hard for the coach to actually go out and recruit these guys.
Yeah, so there's two levels. There's recruiting high school players that are good enough to graduate from your school. And pretty much any Vanderbilt player could probably transfer – to a lot of these other schools, and nobody asks any questions. But when not every player from all of these schools can transfer to Stanford,
or
Duke, Vanderbilt, Northwestern, it's not an easy two-way street that way.
Coming up next, we will talk to the president, Sean Henry, the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, will join us to talk about tonight's game. But first, Willie, tell us about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. They want to get your money moving. If you're in need of cash and you've got a very good loan rate, a mortgage rate, that's a very, very important thing that you want to hold on to. You don't want to mess with that. Loan Pronto. Or they want to have a program that's called, they have the home equity line of credit program. So for Loan Pronto, you can keep that loan rate the way you want it, the mortgage rate that has been advantageous to you, but you can also access the money you need to go do things financially that you need to address, maybe before the holidays or very close to it. Maybe it's starting off the new year right. You got bills to pay. Just call Loan Pronto right now at 615-499-5780. Tell them you want to know more about the Express Equity Line of Credit Program. And you can close in 7 to 10 days, and a $50,000 loan would only cost you around $300 a month, and you can protect that mortgage rate. You can stay with it and also access the cash you need to pay the bills, whatever those might be, tuitions, car loans, credit card bills. Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780. Or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We're live at Bridgestone Arena at the Jack Daniels Barrel House because you know what? There's going to be a hockey game tonight. The Anaheim Ducks in town to take on the Nashville Predators as this place looks fantastic considering what was happening early Friday morning, and we say hello now to the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators. Sean Henry has been nice enough to stop by. I know you've done a lot of these things today, done a press conference and had Friday morning, and I talked to you yesterday. I told you I watched Friday morning, and you were calm as you usually are, but you had this look on your face of like, did this really just happen? What is going on here?
Well, I've talked to you a few times where I wasn't calm, but
there's that.
You know, when adversity hits, that really is the few times a year I earn my paycheck, I think, because you do have to be calm. You got to assess where you are, what's going to happen, and you know, start recovering from where you are. It doesn't matter what it is. In this case, obviously, it was flooding the building. But as I talked to you on Friday and then again last night, it's just so humbling to see so many people come rushing out for a building. You know, like, no one's life was in danger. No one was injured, you know, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But hundreds, I'm talking hundreds and hundreds of people were in the building by 9 o'clock without one phone call being made.
Yeah.
So I say that and I say it and I say it, and it's hard to appreciate. But there's an odd bond for this building and this team in this city, and it's sure to pay off. And also the meals started showing up. You know, our partners were sending coffee, donuts, lunch, dinner, around the clock. And I called, Andy Marshall from Puckett's, who just so generous.
I know Andy well. Yeah, good man.
He's great, man. I said, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. He said, you guys were there for us at the start of the pandemic. We're partners. This is what you do. And it was really nice. And then from a city partnership standpoint, by 7 in the morning, water services had – I don't know, 8, 9, 10 people here by 8 o'clock, OEM, no one called them. They just showed up with these crazy trucks that can pump water and rock and sand out. Really amazing. And then, Johnny King, our janitorial partners, they had 40, 50 people in the building by 7 o'clock. Now, we were fortunate. It was a day game, so people were starting to roll in a little bit earlier. But by 9:30, that same company had over 100 people here. And then we reached out to Case Restoration, and they had probably 200 people in the building by noon. It was amazing. It is.
But in the moment, I'm sure, because number one, you can't prepare for anything like that. I mean, my dad used to say when in the restaurant business, always have your oh bleep manual. That's not in there. It's just a freak thing that happens. And so I'm sure in the moment you're thinking, this is going to take forever. How are we going to do this? Like, are we going to be able to play any games in the next month or so? And here we are on Tuesday. This happened Friday. You're going to play a game tonight. I know the building's not 100%. It's kind of like a player. You're going to have to get out there and go. But as you talk about all these people, the fact that the ice looks fantastic, the guys skated this morning, both teams did. You got a truck that's going to run the Fang Vision tonight. It's just amazing that this has come together so fast.
Yeah, it really is. That Osh Nike's manual, it gets thicker. every time you know what happens. So now we have a manual for it. But, you know, the best part about a building, and it's just true, it's our fans, it's the employees, it's the players. And that will be here tonight. And it's almost like, you know, the end of the Grinch. The spirit of Christmas is about, you know, not about the presents on the tree. That's how it feels. I mean, our fans will be here. They were reaching out. They were caring about it. Our players can't wait to play again tonight. One, they missed playing here. You know, we missed two games. What a great weekend it was going to be. A doubleheader on Friday. Another game on Saturday. That got taken away from our fans, got taken away from our players. So they can't wait to start playing tonight because they want to play in front of our fans. And it's exciting. But you're right, the building is – if this were a normal Tuesday, we'd all be running around with our heads on fire. Yeah. Like, oh, my gosh, look how awful this looks. But it's just the opposite. If you would have seen this on Friday or really even last night, it's incredible where we're sitting right now. Now there's a lot of holes in the wall. We have a lot of drying out to do. We removed all the temporary dehumidification and HVAC equipment. That'll go back in after Mara Morris. The building still needs to dry out.
Yeah.
It'll probably be the highest humidity.
Yeah, I was having to duck under that yesterday being, you know.
It felt awesome. I had to duck under certain things, too. Yeah, it was great.
Now, are there things, Sean, that the fans that are coming to tonight's game need to look out for? Is there places that may be closed, may not be closed, may be open or whatnot?
Yeah, really the biggest challenge tonight and probably for Friday is going to be our vertical integration, our elevators and our escalators. Right now, half the elevators are out, and they won't be up tonight. Maybe we'll get one more up by Friday. As you can imagine, those pits just filled up with water. You know, they're overflowing. But the fact we got half of them up and running is really good. So we do ask our fans that if you're taking elevators and the escalator out of convenience, maybe tonight's the day we all get in a little better shape and use those stairs. You know, we were going to have some fun with that. We decided to back off. But that's probably the biggest thing. You know, we're such a courteous city. You know, we should defer to the people that have to use those elevators to move around the building. But beyond that, not a whole lot will be different. I mean, the scoreboard won't be as fun as usual, but it's going to be a replay clock and, you know, everything's going to be functioning on it. We'll be missing a few bells and whistles. From a food and beverage standpoint, almost everything at concessions will be up and running. Maybe one or two things will be hard to restock, but we'll be good. Lexus Lounge, which is kind of the showcase of the whole building, that was underwater.
Yeah.
You know, so the fact that we're up and running tonight, it's going to be a little different. It's still going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. But maybe the menu is a little bit different than usual.
I had some people who loved going to Lexus Lounge. That was the first thing. How is the Lexus Lounge? Please tell me the Lexus Lounge is okay.
I kept saying, Mom, it'll be okay. So I'll tell you, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, today, it's been roughest on my wife. Yeah. Because three of my sisters, all their kids, and my mother have been at my house, and I've been here.
Right.
And I love my mom and sisters. But if they were my in-laws, I would divorce me.
Sean Henry is with us, the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators.
Sean, I was just trying to get a – you know, I didn't do very well in the physics classes at Vanderbilt, but just the number of gallons of water that got in basically a two-hour time span, right? That's an amazing amount of water to get the amount of water that went down there. So what are we talking here? Like, how big was the fire hose, so to speak?
Well, that really is – way to describe it, a fire hose, but on steroids. You know, talking to Scott Porter or Potter from City Water Metro, which they were so good. They had the flood started at 4:30, 4:45 in the morning. Not in our building, by the way. I want to clarify that. Mm-hmm. If I get one more comment of someone saying, why don't you have a flood warning? Why don't you have this alarm go off? Well, because it wasn't our building. This would be like a fire truck pulling up to your house, breaking your window and jamming a hose into your bed.
Yeah, right.
And then blaming you that you didn't wake up early enough. You know, this happened on 6th Avenue, and it happened to face our building and literally just washed out. I mean, blew out a wall, blew out doors, blew out a whole sidewalk. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was a 10-inch pipe, which is not one of the biggest water mains they have. The biggest water main they have is, I think, 36 inches. So you think about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we probably ended up with close to 2 million gallons of water being pumped into the building.
Wow.
So it shot around the concourse. It came in the building right behind you guys over by the kids zone. But it shot in with such force that it blew all the rock and dirt from underground, kind of a washout, into, it happened to be our water room, and covered our whole systems. I mean, just encased it. It looked like concrete being poured. And that washed out all the way down to Mumbry into 2nd and even 1st Avenue. You saw these clumps of dirt and rock all over. But on the concourse, picture a whirlpool. That's what it looked like. It was shooting out and whipping around the whole building.
Wow.
All that water had to go somewhere. And water always wins.
Yes.
all that water, you know, 2 million gallons of water ended up on our event level.
Right.
Through our locker room ceilings into, you know, our dressing rooms. I mean, it's pretty rough. There was literally a waterfall down the down risers of the stairs going on down. And then the loading dock was underwater. About 4 feet deep. There's a great picture of Lawrence Filoni using his new truck, which is, you know, dualies on the back, this major thing that you could never use. Well, he used it because we had to pull our equipment truck out with it. So it was amazing to see. I mean, an NHL video coach is up to his waist in water, pulling the video truck out or the equipment truck out with his own truck. Our AGM, our GM, our assistant coaches were squeezing water and shop backing it out Friday morning because our goal was, well, let's play. You know, it was Ernie Banks, man, it's a beautiful day. Let's go. Yeah. Let's play two.
Yeah, let's find a way.
And then we realized, you know, pretty quickly, you know, by 8:30 or 9 that morning, there's no way in the world we can. I mean, our life safety was down. I mean, everything was down in the building. But the goal still was, okay, can we make Saturday happen? And then we realized there's no way we can. And then it was, uh-oh, are we going to be able to play again this week, this month, this season? The flood from a damage standpoint has been worse than the flood in 2010 for this building.
Mm.
2010 was 1,000 times worse for the city. I mean, too many lives were lost and livelihoods were changed. But for our building, this has been worse because the water came in on the concourse level and
went
down.
Went down instead of coming
as
up.
As opposed up. Now, that was dirty water. This is clean water, so there's some, you know, ups and downs. But we'll end up having to replace every piece of sheetrock, every ceiling tile, every floor surface in the event level. You know, and that's going to take, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months. It's hard to get building materials. And that's why Tim Friedenberg and Kyle Clayton, our vice presidents of operations and business, I don't know how they did what they did, but before Friday was over, there were about 30 pallets of ceiling tile. There were 10 pallets of carpet tile. I mean, they just had things rolling. I don't even want to know how they got it or where they got it from. I'm not asking too many questions. But the others, we had 1,000 fans in the building. I mean, you were here yesterday. You saw them still out. We have the greatest fans in the world. It turns out so does our restoration company, just different kinds.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of fans here tonight, that is for sure. Team USA is taking a 1-0 lead over Iran in the World Cup. So I know you, and I know how your brain works in that you're always looking new ideas and thinking of, okay, how can I turn a negative into a positive? And you've always been that way. We thought during the pandemic there were things that we did that – they're like, hey, this is actually a good idea. Why don't we do this all the time? So I'm sure it hasn't happened yet.
No, we're not installing a water slide.
No, I'm not. That's not where I'm going.
The whirlpool, the hot tubs.
It's hot tub night here at Bridgestone Arena. But as you go through the restoration process and you know that there's things you're going to have to fix, you know, how much of that, okay, well, now we have an opportunity to maybe do something we've been thinking about that we haven't had time to do or resources to do. How much of that do you think is going to happen over the next 6 months?
Oh, definitely happen. You know, you have a chance to look at things a little differently, repurpose some rooms. You know, the flood in 2010, our coaches' room, our video room, and our weight room all used to be housed in what is now our locker room.
Yep.
And then we looked at it and said that was a storage area. How do we take this space and just use the same space in the building?
That's where Lexus Lounge came from too, right? Some of that.
Almost. Yeah, I'm not going to correct you on air in front of all your friends and family. But
I'm wrong.
That showed us that anything's possible in storage room. So there you go. But, yeah, if you don't look at things a little differently, you're missing an opportunity to always take a step forward. Right now, the only focus is on tonight and Friday, and then we'll see where we go.
Absolutely. Sean, I know you're crazy busy, but thanks so much for stopping by today. And we're glad to be here, glad that there's going to be a game tonight, and good luck moving forward.
Now, I appreciate you guys, and seriously, the number of people that reached out from the station over the weekend, it really is nice. You remember who your real partners are, who your friends are. I appreciate your call Friday. You didn't offer to come help, but I do appreciate
you. That's not true. I'll read the text.
You were absolutely in. You're like a brother of us. If you really need me, I can. No. You were wonderful.
It reminded me, I kind of had a laugh. You know, you try to find positives and everything. When the flood happened in 2010, I'm stranded in Murfreesboro. I can't get to Nashville because 24 is underwater. My dad calls me in a panic. He's at the restaurant. He's like, Chase, I need you. I go, Dad, I can't get there. What's going on? He sends me a picture, and the water is coming up to the back door of the building. And my dad, I got to find it, has a mop, and he's literally trying to push it out the back door. And, like, I thought of that of I don't think that's going to work, Dad.
But I just thought the Crown Prince of Bellevue would have been at his dad's side. But I tried. But, hey.
No, I did. I tried. I couldn't get there.
The pride of MTSU.
Hey, Sean, there's boats out there. He could have used the boat.
Yeah, there's always could. You just didn't.
There was a party. Just had to get to it.
Well, guys, Sean, thank y'all.
Yeah, that is Sean Henry, the president and CEO, joining us here on the show. Come back, wrap things up. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Ducks here tonight. I appreciate Sean Henry for stopping by. I know he's going to be a part of the pregame show as well. Stillman and Company will be coming up next. But it's interesting, you know, from the game aspect of things. You know, Derek, you've been through this as a, you know, crazy moments, I'm sure, as a player. Maybe not like this, but, you know, when something like that happens, you know, it kind of gives you a little extra pep in your step to go out and play the game tonight.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you just want to get back on the playing surface, whether it be the ice or the football field. When moments like that, unforeseen things happen, you want to get back as quickly as possible, because you understand that there's a level of you know, joy and excitement that game day brings for families, for individuals, that when they come to games, that may be their highlight of the week, or that may be their first game ever.
Right.
So, you know, there's an extra adage, like, we need to get back on the field and we need to, you know, have a great performance, because, you know, maybe the person that was supposed to show up for the game the other day, that was their only chance they could, you know, possibly make it to a game. So now they, for some reason, they get tickets to make it to tonight's game. Well, we got to make sure we go out and perform at a high level and make it exciting for them, because they may not make another game. But that's how you should feel each and every time you step on a playing surface, whether there's something unforeseen happen or not. But I'm pretty sure tonight, because of what has happened, because of, you know, the sort of all hands on deck mentality that was displayed within the last, you know, 3 or 4 days, that this place is going to be rocking tonight.
Yeah, I sure hope so. Yeah. You know, it's this kind of thing. Like, if it doesn't happen, you're going to say, well, how can they not be fired? You know,
exactly.
Yeah, that's it's just, you know, you. So I you got to temper it a little bit, but you would hope. Mm-hmm. That, like, I saw a really nice gesture from Roman Josi and Matt Duchesne yesterday. They got together and they bought lunch for the employees, mm-hmm. For all the work, because they understood that, look, it's pretty remarkable to turn this thing around so they could play. Mm-hmm. So you hope that's in the back of their mind, but you also say to yourself, well, what, you know, why do you need this to motivate you, right? It's a double-edged sword a little bit. You've got to put your best out there every night regardless of what the situation is. But sometimes it doesn't hurt to have a little extra juice, you know, a little extra something behind you.
Well, you always got to find something.
Well, he's in that tonight.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Juice is in there. Yeah.
You got to always. I think every game that you – or practice for that matter, that you have an opportunity to go out and do what you love, that you grew up doing. Each moment you have an opportunity to do that, you need to take advantage of it. You know, it shouldn't take someone else to motivate you. That motivation should come from within. And each game, you got to have motivation. There has to be a sense of motivation for me to go out and play at a high level. So what's your motivation today? What are the Predators' motivation today as they step on this ice, knowing they couldn't play here last week? So now this is the first time they're back in the building since the water pipes bust. So, you know, their motivation could be, hey, listen, we want to go out there, you know, because we missed a home game. We want to go out there and we want to play well, because we didn't get a chance to, you know, showcase, you know, us getting better as a team. So that could be your motivation tonight as you play. So, you know, motivation could be anything. It just depends on, you know, the person in the moment.
1-0 the score, as I believe they're at the half.
Yep, they just hit the half.
And it looked like Team USA made it 2-0, but what they call offside?
Offside, and it looked very close to me. I think they have the ability to review that.
Yeah,
I thought
VAR.
That might have been I thought that might have been worth the second look there. I thought it was very, very close. But all things considered, a very good first half for Team USA. They must win to advance to the knockout stage. But so far, so good. Now, we do say that they led Wales 1-0 at the end of the first, and
that's why that second
they had to
goal,
settle for a tie. That second goal would have been huge.
That could be big. We'll see if they can get that in the second half. I look forward to watching.
A draw is not good enough.
Second half. Nope. A draw, you go home. You got to get the win. But I mentioned Juice in net tonight. John Hines confirmed that UC Soros will start. He also said Yakov Trenin is ready to go. He'll be with Cody Glass and Mark Jankowski tonight against Anaheim.
Yeah, and so you think about with the herd split up, they've got balance up and down the lineup. So I'm thinking the depth has got to be an advantage for Nashville tonight. And hopefully that will play out if you've got four lines that are really pushing there. So they tried to take advantage of the time off, so they've got fresh legs, and hopefully they will be able to be sharp early, because that's the concern when you haven't played since last Wednesday is, are you a little bit rusty? But so they tried to make the most of the practice time.
Yep, and they did. I mentioned I ran into Coach Dan Lambert the other night at dinner because he didn't have a game, and they said that they had added some practices to try and stay loose and get some extra work in. I mean, look, it's good to take advantage of some of that extra time. So we will have pregame coverage. Max Herz will be on the call for that starting at 6. Then Pete Weber and company will be on the call from the booth later on tonight. That's going to do it for us here at Bridgestone Arena. But don't go anywhere. Stillman and company is coming up next as they'll continue to look at the Titans and tonight's game between the Predators and the Anaheim Ducks. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Caroline in for me starting at 10, 1025, 1063, the game.
We out.
Have a great day, guys. Enjoy the sunshine.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.